Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Graft of the Draft podcast. And we're finally off with season 2024, at least for the boys. And the girls does start this week, but season preview for the girls will be next week, as there's only one game this week for the girls. So be a bit more fitting when more teams come in. But big week of boys football, and finally got some winners, some losers. As always, it's a regular now. I've got a question. You don't have a question this week, but I've got a question. So if you didn't see the end of Geelong and Dandenong, there was a free kick awarded with 30 seconds left to Zach McGuinness. He kicks a goal. The siren goes literally 2 seconds afterwards. Obviously, time doesn't stop. And Geelong win the game. My question is, do the umpires need to put their whistle away in the last 30 seconds? Because it was a crucial area, and he was always going to kick that goal, and you could probably put him 10 metres back and he was probably going to kick that goal still. Do the umpires need to put their whistle away? And I'll take you to another game 2 years ago. I can't remember who Bendigo played, but it was when Harley Reid got a 50-metre penalty right on the siren, and he kicks the goal.
It was definitely against Murray. I remember that one was against Murray.
So, yep. Do the umpires need to put their whistle away in the last 30 seconds?
I thought that free kick was there. I think my answer would be yes, but I thought that free kick was there having watched it back. Unrealistic marking attempt. But yeah,
it was there, but it was a tough way to lose the first game.
Definitely.
Standing on, but
still plenty to be pleased about.
Yeah, 100%. Well, let's get straight into it. And we'll start from the top, and we will start with Northern and Western, which kicked off 2024. Northern got up in that one by 43 points, but probably doesn't reflect how close that game was. I mean, it was 65 all about 12 minutes into the third quarter, and, Northern just got a hold of it from there. I'll let you start us off here. Who were your top boys? And, I mean, probably you have to start with Lucas McInerney.
Yeah.
And we both said this at the end. That was the pinnacle of what a Winman's game should be, really, in the talent league. In general, AFL level, like that was really well executed on his end.
You're not going to see a better winger's game than that all year in the talent league. I don't think he held his width outstandingly, which is something we hear he's been working on a lot. And he played the role to perfection. Not only was he able to be that outlet handball at times, but he also got multiple possessions in a chain. So he finished with 28-2 and ran really hard offensively as well and kicked a couple of really classy goals. So used it well. His decision-making stood out as it always does. And I think that's a real confidence booster for a player who played some good APS footy last year, maybe didn't translate it as well into the Coates League, but after being an under-16s Vic Metro representative, I think he's one who certainly put his name on the map early in 2024. 100%
did, and it was, like you touched on, I thought it was his decision-making that was terrific, that ability to switch kicks and open the ground up a lot, probably similar to what I kept talking about last year with Tarkin O'Leary. The way he was able to do that was such a threat in his game, and kicked a terrific goal, like you said, and was selling candy at points. And selling candy, I say, that kind of ability to draw the player in and move around. I just thought that was an element that he's got into his system really early, and it just sets such a good benchmark for him as the year progresses, definitely.
Certainly. I think if I was to give my 3-2-1, it would be Lucas McInerney, obviously the 3, but the 2-1 would both be Northern Knights players as well. Zach Johnson and then Tom Sims. Probably Tom Sims would get the 2 and Zach Johnson the 1. Tom Sims really stood up in that second half. Yes, Western are undersized down back and they've been up front about that, and their defenders were probably a little bit more pedestrian than they would have liked at times in that second half, which did allow him to probably kick a couple more goals than perhaps he should have, but he still got to kick those 5, and he played that complete performance. He was really good at ground level. He hunted it and he imposed himself really well on the contest. So I thought his game was, in some ways, as much as it was a 43-point margin, given how close it was up until the last 10 minutes, I thought his game was, probably the difference between Northern, you could almost say winning and losing.
Well, he did. He kicked 3 goals in a row in that third quarter and 5 goals in the space of what? It was probably
8, maybe? Tops, 8 goals, 5 of 8 goals,
Yeah, but he kicked those 5 goals in like a space of probably 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that was how impactful that part of the game was. And he was taking it on as well when he was inside those centre stoppages. He was just willing to kind of break through and wasn't afraid. So for a tall to do that and go in and feel comfortable in their movement, not sort of too robust and not able to move well, he was sort of, he was the opposite, really, bursting, getting his hands on the footy inside 50 and loved his game, and probably touch on that third player, Zach Johnson, and that was, you know, rinse and repeat for him. Came back.
Yeah.
Case, you know, ended 2023.
I thought he had 25 up to half time. I don't say that to demean his game in any way. I thought he actually had a bit more of the footy. I know he was a bit quieter in the second half, but yeah, that first half was really impactful. He worked really hard, got to a lot of contests and saw a lot of the footy. I thought to run through a few more Northern Knights, I thought Jesse Totoli, I know you're a fan of his. He got 22-1 and split probably pretty much 50-50 between forward line and midfield. I like him more as a midfielder, but understand and why they are, you know, splitting that the way they are. But he was a lot of fun to watch and showed his traits. And then some bottom majors played well as well. Mitch Moat looked really lively. He got a couple of games at the end of last year. Tyson Gresham was flashy, I thought. And Seb Murphy's first quarter is really important. Played his role really well and kicked a couple of early goals as well.
Yeah, I'll touch back on Totoli. I'm more on the side of him being a forward.
Okay.
I think that's where his danger really is, and I understand why he's in that midfield mix. I think if you want more output from him, his midfield time is where he's getting a bit more hands on, getting his hands on the footy a bit more, using it a bit differently. I think up forward, he knows his goal and he's good at it. So it was interesting, his mix. I don't even think that was one of his better games, to be quite honest.
Nah,
I thought
it wasn't.
He was just struggling to really get his maximum output from it, but was still pretty prevalent, and with 21 touches, you can't complain in the end, really.
Speaking of touches, we have to touch on Roman Moxon, who got 26 touches on Dubu as well. So that ball-winning ability for a bottom major was really impressive, and, yeah, he was in and under and won his fair share of the footy. From a Western Jets point of view, I think the best on was probably Luca Grego there. Vic Metro representative from last year. They slingshotted well as a team in the first half, and that's how a lot of their goals came. But he was really good in tight. He was tough. He was willing to put his body on the line, executed a few really good tackles, and won a series of clearances. I suppose the next step for him will be actually with those clearances that he does win, directing the kicks a little bit better so that they hit targets and can perhaps lead to scores or lead to them being a little bit more dangerous. At times I thought they were a little bit of hat kicks, but certainly a good first round game nonetheless in a team that struggled towards the end of the game. I thought he played a four quarter performance.
Well, he did it last week as well, and he's done it 2 weeks in a row where he's played kind of everywhere. Like, you kind of naturally just saw him off that half back line last year, but he's been moving pretty high up the ground, and I think that will only get better as the year goes on, and we'll see. So a lot of versatility from him, but yeah, arguably was one of Weston's best on. One that I want to touch on that, look, he might have been in Western's top five players, and I didn't say anything about him last week, just wanted to see how he competed in round one, was Jake Girardi as a small forward, who I just like the look of. And you never know. As the year goes on, he strings together a few more consistent performances like that, but he's very prevalent inside 50, knows how to read the drop of the ball well, gets his hands on it and impacts straight away, and just a good mover inside 50, was leading well and just creates a few opportunities for his other forwards that probably go a little unnoticed. And I thought would be nice to put his name out there because the efforts I've seen from him over the first 2 weeks, first game as well, first competitive game.
Yep. And you're obviously talking about the Eastern practice match there where he played well. So, yeah, I think, yeah, and just a couple of others that I think just worth touching on. Tom McGowan, really smart in midfield. We know that. We know his IQ is through the roof. 118 disposals, had a couple of moments where you go, yep, that's what all the hype's about. And Xavier Kadarchi's had a massive preseason and his conditioning's really improved. It's still got a way to go, but he worked really hard and won 15 disposals. Thought he actually won a little bit more of it than that. But, yeah, there was still a little bit to be pleased about on Dubu for Kadarchi. So, yeah, they were probably the main players from that game. We'll move on to Sandy Calder. Calder threw their best hand at Sandy in the first quarter, and they did look really potent to start that game, but then they just weren't able to keep it up, and Sandy's class ultimately shone through. But it was a good game to watch, probably a little bit scrappy to start with, but as it went on, there were several players that stood out from both teams, particularly the Dragons.
100% a game that the scoreline, shame it ended like that. I thought there was a lot more in that than what the score suggests. Yep. It was 12 points at three-quarter time, so it was close. I'm going to go off and talk about Adrian Cole first, and before we kind of come back into, I just want to bring him up, and I'm a big sort of lover of defenders and across all sports, love the way they go about things, but he was one of the best, and you know, stats won't reflect that. Never, they never do with defenders.
Seven disposals, by the way.
Seven touches, but don't think he lost a one-on-one all day.
Yeah.
So well drilled in what he did, and it was evident. And even when ball goes to ground, it's not getting out to another forward and it moves forward. It stays there, either wins it, moves it on, or he keeps it in, causes a stoppage. Just really good defensive craft that I think can go underrated in a game like that where it's just kind of moving quickly and those type of things. So off the top is one I think needs to be shouted out.
And athleticism is really good as well with him. And I think his ability to get outside defensive 50 and defend as well was really good. But yeah, it was a who's who of who went well for Sandy. I'll start with Josh Dolan, who I thought was really dangerous, was involved in a lot of scoring chains. And I know I've talked about him a lot through preseason as being someone who has taken his game to another level. He's gone from being a role player in a premiership side as a bottom major, one of only three bottom majors that played last year, to being a genuine game changer, or someone that certainly can change a game. We'll see him do it at some point this season. I think in between his APS commitments, he kicked three goals and showed a lot.
Opportunistic. And he was efficient. Three goals straight. There were a few that were efficient on the scoreboard, but still, you take three goals straight over 1-2 or 2-1 and four inside 50 is just a really productive day for Dolan. And, yeah, he's developing into just more than just a role player. So,
yeah,
good to see that on his end. Another one I want to bring up, and been big on him from the preseason, Harrison Oliver. Again, probably one that the stats don't probably reflect the impact he had. He only had 16 touches, two inside 50s, two rebound 50s. But he was one that just kind of cruised through traffic really well. Good decision maker, was just neat with his inside 50 entries. And that was probably the difference between Calder and Sandy in the end, in terms of just taking the most of those opportunities in transition. And he does it really well. He's an elite ball mover. And that was probably you could give him a top five performance there. And the stats don't even reflect how impactful he was. So you give him another six or seven touches and he really will take you to town.
Yeah, he kicked it really well as well. I thought Murphy Reid in that midfield mix was really slick through traffic. 28 disposals. He sets the benchmark so high, but he's started the season really well. And someone who went under the radar a little bit for me, I didn't realise he won so much of the ball. And it was another day where you think he almost tore the game apart, but wasn't quite able to do it, missing a couple of opportunities early. 28-0-3, though, Taj Houghton's ability to win a few disposals in close was really influential. And he also was dangerous inside 50, as he always is, but got some time in the midfield, which is good to see.
I just hope he just needs to put it together. It's there. Like, you can't, like, 28 touches, 0-3. We've said it, he's the almost player, but we just want to sit here and say he is the player that does it. And I mean, he will just, you know, give it time, but you know, that is still, especially the way he started, I think things could have gone downhill very quickly. He started with two kicks, like in the space of 30 seconds, that didn't register, or one went for a point, one didn't hit.
Yeah.
So I think mentally that is a really strong...
It's a good point you make.
A strong end to what... One end, it was, you know, the rest of the game. But you know what I'm trying to say there. Kept his head in the game and moved it much better from that point onwards.
Who else from Sandy?
I'm going to bring up Ned McGuinness.
Yep.
I liked his game, and returning as a 19-year-old has to show something pretty quickly or else it will go the opposite way. But composed, efficient disposal user, I was pretty impressed. So I think that was a tick for him in that one.
Yeah, gotten stronger, plays that wing role really well. Thought Bailey McKenzie, probably a little bit of an almost ace, had better games in preseason maybe, but on debut to kick two goals too and have 19 disposals, look as dangerous as he did, and get his hands to as many balls overhead as well as look dangerous on ground level, I thought was a reasonable start for him. And we'd be remiss not to touch on Nathaniel Sulzberger, 18 disposals, two goals and five tackles. Had some of those trademark moments of hardness in the midfield, but he also went forward, took a really good contested mark, showed his springiness, not something you typically associate with him.
Yeah.
But another good day for Nathaniel Sulzberger.
Harry Armstrong, or just two goals, nine touches.
Yeah, and he played productive. he played on Harry O'Farrell, so that might be a good segue to go into some of the Calder boys. I thought that was a reasonable matchup. Neither of them necessarily dominated, I didn't think, but I thought it was an intriguing one to watch. There were a few one on ones there.
Well, geez, the amount of times Harry O'Farrell just absolutely puts his body on the line. He's like, you're just expecting him to sit on the ground injured, but he goes for it. He's tough, like very tough, and fair play. That was some real crunching kind of contest he went into. But yeah, I'd agree it was pretty balanced for Harry Armstrong's two goals. I think it's a pass for both, because given the context of the game, Sandy just were running away with it, and midfield accountability, Calder just weren't there at the end. So probably a pass mark for both. And I think with Calder, the one we have to touch on is Damon Hollow.
Wowee. Yeah.
Straight from the first bounce, it was just all in from him. And those kicks of his inside 50, Jesus, he was kicking them wind on his side at some points in, you know, first and third quarters. He's kicking about 60 metres inside 50.
Yeah, easily 60, yeah. And it was quite interesting to watch, because you had the Sandy players coming up expecting Damon Hollow to try and hit his teammates on the lead, and his teammates knew that he had this long shoe on him, so they're holding back and he's just kicking it over the top. I reckon it definitely happened at least twice in 5 minutes. I'm not sure if it happened three times in 5 minutes, but it seemed like he was kicking a few long in a row there. But yeah, finished with 20 disposals and, yeah, I thought played really well defensively as well. So it was a really balanced performance. And, yeah, he was on Ashcroft at times at stoppages as well. And, yeah, to show his speed and show his attributes when he's playing on a player as well as Ashcroft, I thought was really impressive. And obviously that ability to hit targets as well. I thought Harry Ryan, even though he only had 6 disposals, showed a little bit of that spring that they've sort of talked about at Calder. He kicked 1 goal, 2, and looked lively and likely when they went forward, just wasn't quite able to piece it all together. And Isaac Kakko versus Sam Linder was a very good battle. Isaac Kakko kicked a couple of goals, and I know you've got some thoughts on his game, but yeah, Sam Linder was tough and stayed with him for a lot of the day and made it an intriguing battle.
Yeah, I wasn't negative on Kakko's game. He either came very high up and you saw his craftiness and he was able to get some good movement going, but I think he's just like he's naturally a small forward, and when the ball did get in deep, which became less and less as the game went on for Calder, he wasn't there a lot of the times just because of how high he pushed up. So I would have liked to see him a bit deeper, because you know how electric he is when he gets it. So, but no, it was still a pretty productive game. But I think that's what we need to see from Kakko, is see him push up. And I know naturally he just will be there, because that's, we need to see that versatility in his game. But just would love when he's, if he's planted there for 100 minutes in that forward pocket, he's going to kick a bag of 5 or 6 like he did last year. And I'm sure we will see it in the next 2 weeks. For sure.
Yep. We'll move on to Murray versus Tassie now. Big win for Murray. The scoreboard probably flattered Tassie a little bit, but Murray was certainly the dominant team. It was a little bit scrappy at times, and Murray's aerial stuff inside 50 was a big factor in the result. Jack Whitlock kicked 4-4 and had a game high 20 disposals. Josh Murphy had 4 goals as well, and the electric small forward Joe Berry made things happen. He was involved in a lot of scoring chains and kicked 4 goals of his own. So there's 12 goals just between those 3 players. So that was a big say in the result. But certainly Jack Whitlock, yeah, took his marks and had 9 scoring shots.
Yeah, Ryder Corrigan as well, 2 goals onto that tally. But I think we've seen pretty early how deadly Murray's forward connection is there. And
yeah,
we didn't get to catch a lot of this game, but I sat in my car and watched 10 minutes between Northern and Sandy, and the Whitlocks on both ends were just so prominent, and their ability to just hold their position well, use it well out of D50, and Jack's ability to push up and just hold his ground, take a good mark and settle. They're just good at settling those boys and understanding the pace of the game and when to move it on. And yeah, they were dominating. It was kind of back and forth when I was watching, but good to see Murray start their season with a win, to be honest, because they've been on the back end of some losing seasons. So yeah, a great start.
Yeah.
And good good build, but you want to touch on a few more of the mids?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, just to finish on Matt Whitlock, 9 marks. So, yeah, you talk about that aerial ability. A few of those were intercepts as well. So a good showing from him. But, yeah, in terms of the midfield, I think the one that has to be touched on is Ollie Warburton. Only had the 17 touches. He looked a lot more likely than that from all reports. He looked like he was around it. He won 4 clearances as well, and he was clean and played with the typical, what you associate with Ollie Warburton, he's playing at Caulfield or wherever. That's the sort of game it was. Just didn't seem to win as much of it. Like we say, it was a little bit scrappy at times, and it can be quite blustery out at Highgate, which is where that game was being played. And then on Tassie's side, another one who didn't win as much of it but was really classy when he won it, from all reports, was Lenny Douglas. Only 11 touches, kicked the 2 goals. But, yeah, every time he won it in the midfield, he had that cleanness, had that turn of speed and composure and made something happen with it. So that was really positive from a Tassie perspective.
Well, one who kicked 3 goals, who we were big on last week, BFL, Jordy Payne.
Yeah.
3 goals. I mean, that's the way to start your 19 season and continue to put your name on the map at the very least.
And doing it in a new position as well. Like, we know him as a halfback. We know him as a player who, yeah, comes off halfback and has that flair. But to play off half forward and have 6 scoring shots, 16 disposals, I think was a real statement. Connor Ling, strong preseason showed. He won 21 disposals and laid 6 tackles. Ollie DePola, Q-Bank, was creative as well. And Max Mapley probably lost overall Tassie's Max Mapley and Ollie Dean probably lost the ruck battle in terms of taps. Zach Harding was just a little bit stronger and won that one, which was an interesting one to watch given both of them are sort of in the mix, one for Allies, one for Vic Country. But Max Mapley probably won around the ground, 14 disposals, a couple of goals and 4 marks. So that ability to get involved is something that he'll want to show coming back as a 19-year-old. But, yeah, plenty of positive signs, particularly for Murray. You could run through a few others. Cohen Paul won a fair bit of the ball. Darby Wilson showed his speed off halfback, and you touched on a couple of the bottom majors. Ryder Corrigan and Riley Onley going to be better for the run.
Oakley Eastern. Yeah. Not going to assume, but I'm assuming a few people. I just said that. I am going to assume that a few people are here to listen to this game. I have to be honest. This was underwhelming.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, it was underwhelming. but understandably, these boys would have been pretty nervous going into this. It's high stakes, even though it's one game of, 20 they'll play this year, probably less than that. But, no, it was underwhelming. Maybe the scoreline and that just... But I think those boys, you definitely... Especially the top end, and obviously we're not going to touch on them as much, but those top end boys took a while.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who we named, but there were ones that we named during the game that as soon as we said, probably not playing as well, they did play well, but I'm not going to say who we've said, but... There were boys that just came out of their shell as soon as questioned where they were at.
The reverse commentator's curse.
So where do you want to start with this one?
I think you started with Adrian Cole with the Sandy one. We'll get a couple of defenders out of the way first here. I thought there are a couple of defenders who absolutely put their names on the map. Cooper Trembath's name is already on the map. Yeah. Took 7 marks, I think 6 of which are intercepting. Perhaps all of them were intercept, but he certainly got 6 intercept marks. He was an absolute force down there, showed his size. There's another one that wasn't paid a mark that was a one-on-one. Kick went 20 metres high and 10 metres long. And, yeah, he just worked his opponent out and somehow...
I
don't know how he did that. That was
with about 10 centimetres left on the ground. Yeah, that was unbelievable.
Unbelievable to watch. But, yeah, no, he was really good, and that was a really good battle. He was playing on Louis Emmett at times as well. He was a really highly rated bottom major. And then at the other end, Liam Callaghan, I thought his first quarter in particular was really good, and he carried that forward for the rest of the game, hardly lost a one-on-one, and was a really important anchor down back for the Oakley Chargers because Easton moved the ball really well, I thought. And, yeah, he probably saved a couple of goals on his own at least, certainly saved a couple of scoring opportunities.
Well, Easton kicked 13-4, and that's like that won him the game, to be honest. And they actually had less scoring shots than Oakley, so... Their just efficiency was what did it for them in the end. I'll go back to Oakley, and Pat Reshko is probably the name we just will keep talking about. That was productive. He was probably the best Oakley player in that first half in terms of efficiency. I thought he was not shy to the game, brought his intensity straight away. His movement was just there, and he's just so powerful and quick, and just his link-up play, I thought, couldn't have done any better than what he did in that first half, and I think set the tone for a few of those other boys to lift their game as well.
You can see how much he wants it. It's almost like he's trying to prove a point after missing the Vic Metro summer training hub. But people who don't know, Pat Reshko runs around the Oval, runs some laps of the Oval before the game, now know because I've just put that on the radar. But it was quite funny. I was standing with the Eastern Rangers entourage, I suppose, before the game, and they were all like, oh, so Pat Reshko's a late out. That's you know, that's not good to see and that sort of thing. But, yeah, that's just the way he gets himself ready. And, yeah, like you say, it allows him to bring the intensity from the start of the game. Some others to run through. Boston Dowling, run through a couple of tools. I thought Boston Dowling played a really good game for a big man. It's what you want to see. He showed some glimpses. He was good he was good one-on-one, I suppose, but probably more than that, his ability to win some ruck contests. He took a couple of marks, which looked really good, and they were just glimpses, but they're what you want to see. He kicked a goal as well and won the 10 disposals. So there's a little bit there. And Illero Smith, who we've certainly talked about quite prominently so far, yeah, showed he's still probably a little bit raw and obviously, you know, hasn't played a full season for a while. Took a really big mark, though, that, yeah, people would have been pleased to see and had a scoring shot, 13 hitouts and 6 disposals.
Yeah, well, after what we've seen, it's probably better he's playing a few games at this level. I'd be interested to see how he does tackle VFL when he returns to Box Hill after the first couple of rounds of CTL. But,
yeah,
I did think he struggled to impose himself as much as he probably would have liked. But, yeah, those forward moments I was going to touch on, like you said, that mark, it was a glimpse. Yeah. And I think as long as he's showing glimpses, he's raw, a lot of time to build in his game still, for sure. So, yeah, it was still good. Good moments.
Another 19-year-old I'll just quickly touch on is Oli Bader. I thought his start to the game in particular was really good. Only finished with the 12 disposals. I reckon at least half of them would have been in the first quarter. And, yeah, just showed that ability to be really creative off half back. So that was something that was positive. Would have liked to have probably kept it up for a little bit longer. Zane Cochran, who's had the big preseason, finished with 13 disposals and kicked the first goal of the game, which was probably a little bit of a crunch moment in the sense that, like you say, there everyone was looking forward to it, who's going to be the one that stands up, and it just sort of cut the tension that, all right, you know, a goal's been kicked, now the game can settle into a rhythm. So it was good to see him be the one that kicked it. And to finish on the Oakley players I just wanted to touch on, Waylon Davey Motlop had the Midas touch inside 55 disposals, and people look at that and say, oh, he only had 5 disposals, but every one of them you noticed. Kicked
2 goals.
Yeah, kicked
and
2 goals.
And at one point from where I was sitting, it was a goal. It was touched, but it was a goal. I reckon that was over the line. So you could arguably say he's kicked 3 goals from 5 touches, which, yeah, that's all it takes. And you can tell there's just that. It's bloodline.
Yeah, it's that talent that they talk about, and the question marks about, you know, should they have played him? I think you almost put it to bed just with the raw talent he showed.
So he's just got it.
Unbelievable.
It was nuts to watch. Easton.
Yeah.
Touched on Trenbarth, and yeah, that was one of his best games, like, full stop. That was...
Yeah, up there with the Sandy game last year in round 1.
Yeah, that's clear improvement on his end.
Is it? It's just more of the same of what he's done in the past.
I just think he looks a lot stronger in his role now, and he's just seems to read the ball so much better in the sense that it's not panic when it does come in. It's just kind of wait and read it well and not get sucked into 3 people going up for the ball. Just kind of wait and watch your opponent. I just think he's doing the little things a little bit better.
I hope you're right. I do like him as a player, so hope you're right.
Yeah, I do think on that end he's just improved a lot more. I'd be interested. I think we were a bit split on Cody Anderson, and he was named in the best, I think, for Easton. I thought he struggled to really get a hold of the game because he brings that pressure, right? That's there every week, and it was evident again this week, but I just don't think he got a real handle on the game as much as, I guess, what I saw the week before. It was a lot different, but I know you were pretty big on his game and he was in the best for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing you've got to take into account is not to disparage Western, but the quality of opponent. Everyone knows Oakley is the best midfield in the competition. So, yeah, 13 disposals and 7 tackles he finished with, which surprised me. I thought he won a bit more of the ball than that. I did like him when he had the ball in hand. And, yeah, it's that hardness he brings. It's that toughness. I thought he set the tone with some of the bumps he was laying and some of his willingness to win the hard ball or go in for the hard ball and lay those tackles when he didn't get first hands on it. But, yeah, certainly there'll be some games where he wins a bit more of the footy, breaks away, shows that speed that people probably didn't realise he had until he finished top 10 at the testing, and that improvement over preseason really shows. So, yeah, it was a good, if not spectacular start. Yeah, it wasn't a spectacular start. It was a good start to the season for Cody Anderson. Just one more top ager before we touch on the bottom ages, and then quickly on the top end as well. I just want to touch on Jack Ryan, one of your favourites. Yes. 13 yep. disposals, used his pace, played his role sublimely, and two magnificent goals, including one just before the quarter time siren, which was huge in the momentum of the game.
Yeah, that's opportunistic. And maybe I've said that a lot, but I feel like I've only said it for a couple players. He's
at the top of Josh Dolan, yeah.
Yeah, yep. I mean, that's why he doesn't need a touch at all. I mean, 13 touches, and he probably only had about five or six up to half time and kicked a goal from it.
And just plays the role well.
Yeah, because he gets around the ball quite a lot. You see him around the contest, he just doesn't
isn't
get
used.
His hands.
Yeah,
he's just not used as much, so... Agree. Jack Baldwin, I think, needs a quick mention of his game.
Yeah, played a little bit on Waylon Davey Motlop as well, and I thought that was a good battle when they were on each other.
But when he did have the ball, his decision-making was quite good, I thought. I think just worth a mention that he'll play better games. But I think there was...
Just a selfless player, someone you'd want to line up alongside. I think bottom ages, I thought Mitch Gammel was the standout. 12 disposals. Felt like he won more of it, one goal as well. But, yeah, just a really strong forward half in particular. And the big guns came to play in the second half, but he was the one that held the Eastern midfield together in the first half. And, yeah, smart and strong.
Tough. Really tough. I thought just some courageous plays from him and a really big kick for that goal from 15.
Yeah.
Can't remember what quarter it was that he kicked it. I guess... Should we go through some top-end players?
I just want to touch on a couple more bottom ages. Ollie Greaves, probably a lot of interest in him on debut. Started forward, went into the midfield, 8 disposals. I thought Andrew Barker had some moments down back, winning 11 disposals. He held his own. And Lockie Doveston looked good. Again, had moments, 14 disposals. He'll build on it. But, yeah, let's go through the top end.
More so, let's just kind of give our base thoughts on them and what we thought of their games, because I know a lot will be interested in them as well. Jagger Smith, different role. I'm still not used to him in that kind of higher half forward role at times, and then he was getting put back into the midfield mix where he was a lot more productive, and he's similar to, who did I say before, Harry O'Farrell. They'll literally go in for like a contest, get smashed.
And get straight back up.
Get back up. And
except like Jagger's so much lighter than...
Yeah, like nothing's ever happened.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to rate them out of 10.
In terms of their game on the weekend?
Yeah, in terms of their game. I'll give him an 8.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. I'll give him an 8.
Tom Gross, one that I did not think had 26 touches. And I was surprised that he did have as much of the ball as he did. I'm not sure where I sat with his game. I didn't think he was too productive early on, but I guess the stats kind of proved that wrong in the end. He was... getting a lot more of the inside ball.
Yeah, and he showed some moments of explosiveness as well, I thought.
Yeah, which is, that's the key to his game. What's your ranking of him? Because I don't think I can give I don't know where I sit with it.
7. Yeah.
I'm going to pass because what I saw obviously doesn't reflect what he did, so it's a bit hard to rank on that. Christian Moraes.
25 disposals, 2 goals and 5 tackles. I thought it was a really good midfield performance. Obviously was a lot more prominent after halftime. Would have liked it to have been more of a full game. I would give him a 7 as well.
I'd give him an 8. Turned it around, I think. And
That's probably fair.
And similar with Josh Smiley. Probably a pretty average first half by his standards. And turned it around.
And I've heard that from a couple of people. I still think his first half
was fine.
Well, the
first goal he kicked was...
That
was,
goal
you know,
set the zone, and that's going to be replayed on draft night. And I thought he still had a couple of other moments. You're right, his second half was monumentally better than his first.
Oh,
still held his own.
Like 12 touches.
Yeah, still held his own.
Just like that.
I'll give him an 8.75.
Yeah, it's probably a 9. He was probably the best when you put it all together.
Finno Sullivan? 15 disposals.
Quiet again.
Probably the quieter one of the lot.
But I still thought he was productive when he had the ball. Probably sits at a 7 as well. I think a lot of these boys sit at a 7. They really, apart from Smiley, none of them really took it by the scruff.
No.
There was just moments.
But, yeah, I mean, Smiley did for that period as well. So, you're right. Yeah. So, no, it was an interesting watch and probably proved why there's still so much conjecture about who goes at pick one. There's a couple of games that were played on Sunday afternoon as well. We'll start with the Bendigo versus GWV game. Bendigo getting up in that one reasonably comfortably on a pretty small deck out at Learmonth Oval in Ballarat. And if we start with the Bendigo boys, just a couple of really great storylines here, I think. If you look at who their best two players were, I think most would agree, James Barrett and Tom Evans. James Barrett, a player who hasn't played a competitive game since April last year, was on managed minutes as recently as their most recent practice match. He kicked 3 goals, 5, had 8 shots on goal. One of those behinds went 75 metres, didn't lose a one-on-one all day, 7 marks. You can tell he's built himself up in the gym. He gets separation. He got 14 disposals and was an outstanding presence for Bendigo inside 50. The connection that perhaps wasn't there in the practice match was certainly there. He capitalised on all the opportunities and looks like a player that you think he's bound for Vic Country now off that game. And I know he would have loved to have kicked 6 or 7 and made it a huge day, but it showed everything you needed to see. And to do it when there's still so much, you can almost forgive if he didn't do it because he's coming back from injury, etc. And his first match back from injury was outstanding. Outstanding.
Yeah, terrific story. And if you haven't, go to our Instagram. And last night we put up some quotes from Danny O'Brien about his game. You saw that game, so I didn't
have seen. Yeah, saw part of the game.
And to preface, the stream wasn't even working for like the first 15
minutes. Yeah, it was dodgy.
Yeah, it was a bit dodgy, that stream. But I'm eager to see him this week. I'll be watching a part of that game against Murray. We saw he wasn't able to get a lot of it in that practice match a couple of weeks ago. So interested to see if that changes this week and what approach he takes to that game. Obviously struggling a little bit in that pracky.
Yeah.
Lockie Hogan, how'd he go? Because we know his conditioning is well improved now.
Yeah.
In terms of running that game out, where was his main focus there and what was he executing?
Yeah, halfback mid, I think. And it was that work rate and ability to get to a few different, to get to a lot of contests, which really held him in good stead. And his ball use was really good as well. So I think it was a Lockie Hogan game where he was able to show his attributes and prove why he was in the round one team and is being touted around that midfield mix for them. So, I liked what I saw from him. A solid start. There were players that played better, but he was certainly... he was probably in their top 7 players, to be honest. Yeah, he was a good player on the day. And the second best player, we talked about James Barrett being the great story, the second best player on the ground was Tom Evans. So 24 disposals, 2 goals, both of those from 50, looked really lively in the forward half. And, you talk about those quotes from Danny O'Brien, I think he summed it up really well. It was IQ, it was class, it was poise, it was decision-making, it was his polish, it was clean. He had all the traits you would want. So he showed quite a lot. And he's one who's never actually represented Vic Country at all. They've just been really high on him internally and he's really repaid the faith. So we saw him last year in their last game, kicked 4 goals and showed a real glimpse and a real insight into what the future could hold. And he's had an injury interrupted preseason, didn't play the practice match, and then comes out and does that. That's a statement.
Dayton Ureta.
Yeah.
Terrific a couple of weeks ago. Run me through, same.
Yeah, powerful, dangerous, has learnt that new role really well. 18 disposals, 5 tackles, and he's been named as skipper as well of that side. So really liked what we saw from him. And then the other one to just touch on, Archie Day Weeks, unfortunately got a corky. Was being very closely checked by his defender and, went off at halftime, had 11 disposals and 0 goals, 2 up to that point, but won a couple of nice one-on-ones, which was good to see. But hopefully he gets up for this week. It's obviously a 6-day break for them. But, if not, he'll be back in time for round Kippy 3.
Did we even say the score for this? Bendigo won this by 18 points in the end. I guess... Well, I'll let you finish. Have you run through the Rebels? Bendigo boys.
Yeah, I think the other one was Taj Bond had a few almost moments, yeah. And then bottom ages, Will Bennett and Hunter Wright both showed glimpses of Will Bennett, particularly in the second half, playing on a bigger opponent.
I guess Rebels-wise...
Yeah, there is
tougher.
A
I mean,
couple.
Ollie Hannaford
yeah.
did some good things from yeah. all accounts, so good to see. Connor Wiedemann,
yeah.
great goals, and he was... And Dave Loader, their coach, was big on him at the end of last year. He showed some good signs there, so...
Yep.
Yeah, Rebels will just lack that depth. I didn't say it last week because I didn't know if I could, but obviously now the game's being played. They'll be without Jonty Fall, Sam Lawler, Flynn Penry to start the season,
yeah.
and probably not for the first 3 weeks at all. So they will struggle a little bit depth-wise.
Yeah, but yeah, no, you're right. On Hannaford, 19 disposals. He stood up in the contest and he was really explosive. So he had the Hannaford moments that you wanted to see.
Yeah.
So I did like what I saw from him. Connor Wiedemann was a presence inside 50 and just a couple of others to touch on. Jack Owls had a really big preseason. I think him and Floyd Burmeister have been the two that have been touted internally for their preseasons. Yeah, he looked a bit stronger and a lot more lively. So I expect him to play some big games this season. Just, you know, like you say, yeah, it wasn't quite GWV's day, but he'll have a day at some point. Reece Unwin had moments and Harry Charlson was crafty, took his opportunities when GWV did have it inside the forward half.
Last game of the round, Falcons and Dandenong, as I touched on at the top, we're at 40 minutes. A lot to dissect in these first 3 weeks, but Falcons won it at the last kick, literally. Dandenong should have won that game, in all honesty. They were on top for most of it and they were up by 28 points in the third quarter and seemed to be in all control, and Geelong kicked two goals late in the third against the wind and had the win coming home, and that's what they did and utilised it to their advantage. And I'll touch on the Geelong boys that, especially at the back end of that game, were the game winners. And Will McLaughlin come back as a 19-year-old and he was terrific in that fourth quarter. His ability to just size up the drop of the ball inside 50, kick two goals in the space of, I think it was about five to 6 minutes.
Yep.
Puts them back in the game by, I think, under two goals, and they were always in with a chance. So I really just loved his fourth
yep.
quarter in general. Noah Tullio was always
speedy,
and he was always around the contest all day and probably didn't get used as much as he probably would have hoped. But two goals at the end of the day, got his hands on it towards the end of the game and looked really good. Lockie Jakes ended up with 25 touches, just good ball movement outside of out of defensive 50 on the rebound and ended up with 6 rebound 50s in the end. And I thought Josh Sanders had some really nice moments as well. That athleticism is very evident in the way he moves and just breaks away from the contest with such pace. And even his chase on the ball, when the ball's just kind of ahead, you just see him. You see him bolting from behind you, and
yep.
he's a good prospect in that sense.
And then just on some of the Dandenong boys, I guess I'll start. I'll throw to you in a second, but to start on Charlie Rowe, who played on Noah Tullio, really good battle by all accounts. And yeah, those two tussled really well. But Charlie Rowe had his moments, both defensively and offensively, which was good to see. Benny Hopkins, a mid-season draft prospect, was really good one-on-one and very competitive, showed his run and carry as well, won 27 disposals. So a really big tick to start the season for him. He started or had pre-season at North Melbourne's VFL program, and I think that was really on show from what I've heard. And I suppose the obvious standouts were Cooper Hines and Harvey Langford. They're two top-end boys that were playing. Both of them had the mid-forward rotation, and Harvey Langford probably more so hit the scoreboard and showed a different element to his game with his aerial ability.
Yeah, wow, that was a quite impressive round one outing, and that type of performance can take a few weeks to build, but he was just so explosive from any lead he was making, taking it up high and really giving his opponent no room to work around him or kind of across his arm, anything
yep.
like that. He took, I'd say, two or three good contested marks. And yeah, if it wasn't for such a windy day, he probably could have kicked four or five. There were two kicks that just went a bit off, and he
yep.
ended up with 3-2. Was really, really impressed with his game and easily best on ground.
Field kicking was really good as well from all reports, I think.
Yeah, it was field kicking was pretty average across the board,
yep.
just with the wind. It was
yep.
not a flashy game by any means. It's quite slow moving. One that I would love to bring up, and my first time seeing him, was Max Lee.
Yep.
Really speedy and dashy bottom major for the
in Stingrays. Their leadership group as a bottom
yeah,
major.
He was terrific and had some really good defensive efforts late that They win the game. He's being talked about as your best player on ground nearly, the way he went about his football, and was really impressed with the way he went it. Harry Dowden is one I know you've talked about in pre-season. Calm in traffic, probably his decision-making I thought at times may have let him down, but I was definitely noticing his impact and involvement.
Played in the midfield, obviously, usually forward and show your speed.
Yeah, so... Oh, Joe Pike's the last one. Sorry, just a touch back on Geelong, and he's come back as a 19-year-old ruck. Probably just a bit too slow at times in terms of his movement going forward, because he was getting involved quite a lot and actually had some really good moments. A great use of the body inside 50, I thought, and took a really good mark late in the fourth. That one of those marks where that ball goes to his hands and Dandenong are out the back kind of thing. So... did some really good things around the ground. I just wonder, with his size, his movement, if he's going to be able to get to the next level. Wait and see. But it was not a bad game by any count, and he's on my list for a reason.
Very quickly, we're going to go through our tips to finish off this podcast. So we'll start with Geelong and GWV, who are playing their traditional Easter Thursday game. We'll start with the boys. Who have you got winning that one?
This is really tough. GWV.
Yep, I'm going to agree with you. GWV going to win that one at GMHBA. And the girls are also playing a one-off game this week.
Yes, so we do need a tip for
tip
that.
Tip for that. Who are you going with?
Geelong.
Geelong for me as well. Dandenong versus Gympie, the local rivalry at Belvedere Reserve on Good Friday at 11 a.m.
Gympie.
I'm going Dandenong. I reckon they're going to bounce back. And Friday, also Good Friday, Calder versus Western, another local rivalry at Highgate.
Calder.
Yep, agree with you there. Another one on Good Friday, Murray are playing Bendigo, a battle of a couple of country clubs who played a couple of weeks ago in a pracky at Deakin Reserve.
Game of the round over Sandy and Oakley, I think.
Over Sandy and Oakley?
Yes, by far. This is country bash. This is just, this is all in. This is, that'll be fun. Can't wait to watch a bit of this. I tipped against Bendigo and I was wrong, and I don't actually want to be wrong 2 weeks in a row, so I'd rather be Ron in Bendigo lose, and then I can go back to tipping against them and not feeling bad, but I'll go Bendigo.
Yeah, I'm going Bendigo as well. Another one on Good Friday, part of the doubleheader at Belvedere Reserve. Eastern Rangers are playing the Northern Knights.
Eastern.
Eastern for me. And Sandy versus Oakley, they played a pracky a couple of weeks ago, and Sandy won that one. They're playing on Easter Saturday, 1 p.m. at RSEA Park.
Oakley will bounce back, but Sandy...
I don't think we've disagreed on one. So, yeah, Sandy as well. Dandy Gippy was the one we disagreed on. But, yeah, that's all for this week's episode of Craft of the Draft. Make sure you head on to our channel. There's plenty of new and exciting content. Thanks again to Radio Karen. We love using their facility. But stay tuned to our channel for more content. Thanks for tuning into this one. And stay tuned next week for our girls preview and our boys round 2 wrap.